chemicals were also used to educate young breeders, making the process a natural equivalent to Adamus didactic imprints and Edenist educational affinity lessons. The rain was easing off when the hovercraft cleared the crest above Quastuk RT. Kelly looked down on a broad, gentle valley with extensively cultivated terraces on both sides. An area of nearly 20 square kilometres had been cleared of scrub and grass, rebuilt into irrigated ledges and planted with young reiger bushes. Quastuk RT itself sat on the floor of the valley, 700 identical dark brown towers, regimented in concentric rings around a central park space. Razor steered the hovercraft onto a rough switchback track and set off down the slope. Numerous farmer caste Tarasca were out tending the emerald green bushes, pruning, weeding, patching up the shallow drainage ditches. The farmers were slightly smaller than the soldiers, but with thicker arms, endowed with a kind of plodding durability associated with oxen or shire horses. They saw one or two hunter caste skulking among the bushes, about the same size as Razor's hounds, but with a streamlined fury that could probably give a croc lion a nasty fright. The escort soldiers whistled and hooted every time the hunters appeared, and they turned away obediently. The first signs of damage were visible when the hovercraft reached the valley floor. Several towers in the village's outer ring were broken. Five had been reduced to jagged stumps sticking out of the rubble. Scorch marks formed barbarous black graffiti across the tower walls. Fields on either side of the road had been churned up by fresh craters. EE explosives, Razor guessed. The village solar cast had put up a good fight. The road itself had been repaired in several places. An earth rampart had been thrown up around the perimeter, 100 meters from the outer turret houses. Farmers were still working around its base using shovels, which even Sewell would have been hard-pressed to raise. "Leave your vehicle now," the synthesized voice from the processor block told them when they were 20 meters away from the barricade of raw loam. Razor cut the fans and code-locked the power cells. The soldiers waited until they had climbed out, then walked them into the village. Up close, the tower houses were utilitarian, each with 4 floors, their windows arranged at precise levels. They were made by the builder caste, the largest of all the vessels, who chewed soil and mixed it with an epoxy chemical extravasated in their mouth ducts, producing a strong cement. It gave the walls a smooth, extruded feel, as though the towers had come intact from some giant kiln. There were some modern amenities, bands of solar cell panels, tipped most of the turret walls. Metal water pipes lay bent and tangled among the rubble. The windows were all glazed. Arable gardens encircled every tower, trellises and stakes supporting the grasping yellow confusion of native Tarascan vegetation. Fruit trees lined the paved roads, huge leaves providing ample shade. Smaller rounded silos and workshops were spaced between the towers, each with a single semicircular door. Carts and even small power trucks were parked outside. "I don't know who is jumpier, us or them," Kelly sub-vocalized into her neural mnemonics memory cell. "The Tyrascan soldiers are clearly immensely capable, to say nothing of the hunter caste, yet the possessed have hurt them badly. The vassal caste bodies, you can see half buried in the rubble of the outer towers, have been left untended in the haste to fortify Quastuk RT. A large breach of the Tyrascan internment ritual, they obviously consider the threat humans present to be of more pressing importance. But now we are inside the village, I can see very little activity, apart from those vassals working on the rampart. The roads are empty. No breeder has appeared. The soldiers seem certain of their destination, leading us deeper into the village. I can now hear a great many Tarasca, away towards the park at the centre of Quastuk RT. Yes, listen, a whistle that rises and falls in a slow regular beat. There must be hundreds of them doing it in unison to achieve that effect. The soldiers led them out of one of the village's radial roads, cutting straight down past the tower houses into the central park. Right in the middle was a vast, impossible, dull silver edifice. At first glimpse, it looked like a 100-meter-wide disc suspended 50 meters in the air by a central conical pillar whose tip only just touched the ground. Another identical cone rose from the top of the disk. It was perfectly symmetrical, shining a lurid red gold under the sinking sun.